And welcome, Hoosier Nation, to our 160th episode of The Hoosier Sound, where we are the official podcast of Indiana HQ. Our mission and goal is simple. We want to bring in-depth schedule analysis and coverage for Indiana University sports to as many fans as possible across a multitude of modern platforms. We are recording this edition of The Hoosier Sound on September 22nd, 2020, where I am your host, Nathan Christian, and here with me tonight is Miami Heat and maybe not Philadelphia Eagles fan, Matt Lukens. Matt, how's life? What's going on down in Florida? Anything interesting take place during your weekend, the last few days? What's up?
I've been starting teaching online. I've been teaching some kids over in China English. It's been a lot of fun. They're adorable. And also, they know a lot more English than I thought they would. They're actually pretty great. They're asking questions about basketball. They saw the IU banner behind me. And for some reason, one of them knew what IU was. So there you go. IU is just global. We're coming back.
How about that?
Five national championships next 10 years. But no, it's great. I don't know who the Eagles are. Yeah. I've adopted the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the season as my team. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not adopting them for the season. I will, however, root for the Arizona Cardinals because Kyler Murray is my starting QB in fantasy. If the Cardinals could win every game 70-0 with him rushing for 10 touchdowns, that'd be great. Thanks.
Kyler is having a great start to his season. The Cardinals are 2-0. Mitch Trubisky's Bears are 2-0. We're going to the Super Bowl.
Could take you to the Super Bowl, maybe.
I'm not so sure about that, to be perfectly honest with you. Daniel Jones looked like Peyton Manning there at the end of the game on Sunday, but the Bears got it done, so I guess it's all good. But I know those of you listening are here for an IU football schedule breakdown. Matt, we have a schedule. We finally got one. It came on Saturday. There's still a whole month to go, but we've got games to talk about. The conference said we're playing on Wednesday. The schedule was released Saturday. I know we were hoping for a breaking news announcement during our recording last Tuesday night after the old Nebraska hot mic incident, but that didn't come to fruition. We heard it the following day. Schedule release. Matt, how excited are you to take a look at IU schedule as we break it down? It's an 8-gamer. We're going to give you some predictions, what to watch for. How excited are you to take a look at the schedule, and what are your initial thoughts?
I'm excited, but I have a conspiracy theory. I think Nebraska leaked the information on purpose so they can get their fans excited, so that they weren't immediately disappointed when they found out football was coming back because of their schedule and them whining about it. So they gave them a couple of days for them to sell tickets first before they told them what the games were. So good job. Good on you. Good marketing, Nebraska. I see through that. Anyways, I'm very excited for the season to start. I'm very excited for football to be back. Now, of course, if it does happen, it's going to be great. You go and look at what's happening in Notre Dame with 7 players testing positive. It's not a great sign, but you know what? I believe in the Big Ten. I believe in them actually having a plan, just because the Big Ten does everything well. Look, the Big Ten is class personified. I'm sure they're going to get whatever they need to be done, and it's going to go off without a hitch. So, knock on wood. Anyways, I'm super excited. Again, IU did get a little bit harder of a schedule than I would have hoped for. However, that being said, bring on the challenge. This is the best IU football team we've had. Let's go out there and beat these teams. Let's go out there and beat a top 4, top 5 Big Ten team this year. Let's show people that we're for real. Tom Allen is for real. This program is for real.
There are going to be 3 opportunities on this schedule to knock off a top 10 team out of 8 games. And none of those 3 are Michigan, if you look at the S&P ratings. And we're going to dive into those as we go on a little bit later. Man, I loved your Nebraska conspiracy theory. When fans in Lincoln woke up Saturday morning, or maybe took a look Saturday afternoon at the schedule, how about this? Week 1 at Ohio State, week 2 host Wisconsin. No big deal.
Yeah, that's a good start to the schedule. I mean, IU is going to have to start at Wisconsin this year in the normal schedule. So, yeah. But like, you know, they have to play for them. They have to play two good teams from the East, and then they have to play Wisconsin and Iowa. I'm like shedding tears, like one tear and the world's smallest violin. For them. They have to play four good Big Ten teams in the season. Oh, how are they going to survive?
Wow, bringing the fire. I like it. I think Nebraska might be like the least popular football program right now across the country, as far as just general approval rating of the Cornhuskers, which is kind of surprising because they're usually easy to like. And Scott Frost was normally likable when he was at UCF, but now it's
I think Oklahoma State's giving them a run for their money recently with what Mike Gundy has done. So, but yes, you're correct. I think nationally, Nebraska's in the running. Also, I think Nebraska fans would have you believe that they did not wake up on Saturday morning. They were awake since Tuesday when they were just staying up all night just waiting for the schedule to come out because they bleed corn and Nebraska red.
Bleeding corn. That sounds
Cornhuskers.
Sounds like something they should get checked
by. Black and red? Is Nebraska black and red?
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Anyway, so as a high level look, we're gonna break down each of these games for you. Predict win loss. Talk about what to watch for. Interestingly enough, when you look at the DraftKings sportsbook odds for Big Ten purposes, they're ranking IU's opponents like this. They're saying Ohio State's the toughest, which isn't a surprise. Penn State is next, and then Wisconsin, and then Michigan. Then there's a big gap. After that, Purdue, and then Michigan State, and then Maryland. And then coming in at the very, very bottom of the pack is Rutgers, which doesn't surprise anyone. And they're going to be a little bit better this year, but they're still going to be a big underdog to IU at home. And we're going to get into those games in a moment. Just FYI, for those of you listening, Tom Allen gave a press conference last Thursday after the Big Ten released their statement. After the Big Ten released their statement saying that college football will be back in the Big Ten. And Allen didn't really say anything that stood out too much. I did like to hear him confirm that there were no opt-outs for IU this season, which is always a good sign. And in general, Allen was just very excited about keeping this team together. They showed a lot of intensity and togetherness throughout the pandemic. And basically they're ready to give this a shot, assuming everything goes well in the next month. So let's dive into the schedule, Matt. Here we go. Opening night, week one. Well, night not confirmed. Week one, first game of the season against Penn State in Bloomington, not in Madison anymore. Penn State is rated sixth in the country per the S&P ratings on ESPN.com. Sixth best offense in the country, 14th best defense. Sean Clifford still their quarterback. Win or loss here, Matt, or is there anything else you want to throw out about Penn State?
I think Penn State's a little overrated, just a slight bit. That being said, I think Clifford's their QB, right? I like him a lot. I think their offense, Penn State for some reason always has a running back. I don't know how it's possible, but they always have just a really, really good running back. Trust me, I know I'm an Eagles fan. but look, I think this is a very winnable game. I think this is a lot more winnable than S&P Plus would have you believe. Again, first night in Bloomington, you know, home cooked meals, stay out by the lake as a team and then drive back and get ready for game day. I think this is a very winnable game at home, all things considered. However,
are you going there? Are you going there? Are you starting the season 1-0?
Think they lose this game
because I think
Penn State just has a little bit too much quality. It's a little bit too early in the season for IU to put together a performance that is up and at on par with the top four in the Big Ten.
You know what I'm excited about with this game? I'm excited that Michael Penix is going to play it. You know, last year Indiana lost by 7 in Happy Valley, and Peyton Ramsey put up a really, really good performance.
It's winnable. It is winnable.
Here's the thing. Week one, Michael Penix can't get hurt. I mean, I hope he doesn't get hurt in any game, but he can't get hurt in a game before this one. It's not possible.
Well, he can get hurt in practice. So let's
he can't get hurt in game action is what I'm trying to say. Yes. I mean, give him special security or whatever you need to make sure he doesn't step on a pebble or whatever. between now and this game. Oh, I like that. It's a little COVID joke. Look, yeah. I think at the end of the day, as great as Penn State is, and you talked about their backfield, you're absolutely right. Noah Kane, Journey Brown, they're back. Pat Freiermuth declared for the NFL, the tight end, who's probably going to be the first tight end taken off the board in the 21 NFL draft. He came back after opting out. Penn State's going to be really good, but I've got the Hoosiers, Matt. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid right away. Week one, Bloomington. I know there's going to be no one in the crowd except maybe family members, and even then I'm not sure. I think Indiana's going to defend home field and beat Penn State for the second time ever. I've got the Hoosiers 1-0. Any issues?
I don't have an issue with it. I just don't think this is going to happen. So don't get your hopes up, folks. Nathan's selling you a bad time.
No way. Are you kidding? I mean, we don't have weekly favorite underdog point spreads yet.
But I would take the under on the spread. I think it's going to be a close game. In natural IU fashion, they lose the game by 1 or 3 points.
Oh, boo. Anyway, all right, so that's week one. Let's jump into this week two matchup. Indiana on Halloween, October 31st, heads to Rutgers. Rutgers, a 78th rated team per S&P+, 85th offense in the country, 57th defense. IU shut them out. Oh, real quick, just as a side note, these S&P numbers are out of 91. I know there are 120 some odd FBS teams, but because of conferences canceling their schedules, like the Pac-12, for example, who are still out of order,
the MAC,
those teams have been taken out of the S&P ratings. So when you hear these numbers, don't think of them out of 120. That's common sense. These are out of 91. So Rutgers is 78th. Out of the 91 eligible FBS teams that have declared to play. Once again, 85th offense, 57th defense. IU shut them out last year. Matt, no surprises here, right? Right?
Yeah, nightmare in Piscataway for them. They don't want to see us. We'll be mad after losing a close game to Penn State at home. And I wouldn't be surprised this game is like 50-0, 45-0 IU, honestly.
Wow. I mean,
that's bad. They're just bad. I like Schiano. I think Rutgers is the perfect place for him to coach. Mm-hmm. Schiano's defense when he was at Ohio State gave us fits. Literally, like, I think our worst offensive performance last year was against Ohio State, if I remember correctly. Look, and that, I don't think any of that matters because the talent he had at his disposal in Columbus compared to what he has at Piscataway is night and day. So,
yeah, I agree. I think IU's going to win this game. After knocking off the Nittany Lions, it's
important. 2-0 would be 2-0 would be fun.
Let's go.
I like 2-0.
I like that. Right. I think this Rutgers team. You know, what's interesting is they go to Michigan State week one, and I think that's a matchup of a couple teams that are expecting to have rough seasons. If Rutgers can somehow go into East Lansing and win, all of a sudden they come home to face Indiana feeling really good about themselves. I don't expect them to win that first game. I don't expect them to beat Indiana. A couple names to note on this Rutgers roster. Isaiah Pacheco is a solid running back. He's a junior. Bo Melton's a good receiver. He can cause the IU secondary some problems. But then again, you're probably putting Taiwan Mullen on him and erasing that completely. Defensively, Tyshawn Fogg is a really good linebacker, somebody whose name you should know. And Avery Young, he's a solid corner out there for Rutgers. Probably going to guard the likes of WAP or Ty Freifogel. But end of the day, Indiana moves on to 2-0 in my world, evens things up at 1-1 in Matt's. Let's move on to week three. Again, heavy hitting matchups, right? We're not talking about cupcakes. We're not talking about bottom of the barrel D1 FBS teams. Michigan comes to town. The Wolverines come back to Memorial Stadium after last year where Michigan won 39-14 at IU. Michigan's the 18th rated team per S&P+ going into the season. 18th out of 91. They've got the 32nd ranked offense in the country, the 18th ranked defense. For comparison purposes, Indiana's got the 25th ranked offense and the 29th ranked defense. So very close. A better offense than Michigan, a worse defense than the Wolverines. Take it away, Matt. What's going to happen here week three against Michigan?
I like IU in this matchup. a lot. I think I say this every year when we play Michigan and we play them close, and then they break my heart. But I actually think this is the year. I like IU's matchups on offense against the Michigan defense. I think we'll spread them out. We'll make them have to put extra numbers to blitz Penix, and Penix is pretty good under pressure and is able to get to those checkdowns that he needs to get to quickly and quickly get through his progression. I like Penix against this defense. I also like our defense against Michigan's offense. I think the middle of the defense struggled a little bit last year, and we lost Tom Allen's son. And I think with getting him back, our run defense is going to be a little bit more stout than it was last year. And we're going to be looking at our corners, even taking up a notch from what they were last year. I like this defense against Michigan's offense. Also, I couldn't really tell you Michigan's QB. I thought it was going to be McCaffrey, and it's not. I know Nathan told me his name before we went on the podcast, and I still don't remember his name. That's how forgettable it is. So, and honestly, all Michigan QBs since Harbaugh has gotten there have been forgettable in a large part. And all you have to do for Michigan, is stop the run. If you sell out and stop the run, you force them to throw in our corners and into our secondary, we win this game. I think Tom Allen is smart enough as a defensive head coach to do that. And this is a convincing win against Michigan.
Oh man. Okay. So you're going with the win over Michigan, even though the Hoosiers dropped one to Penn State to start the year.
I said Penn State was a little bit too early in the season. Yeah. I think they needed a win before they got going a bit, and needed that Rutgers confidence boost, and boom, next game.
All right, I'm gonna build this one up a little bit. Okay, I'm gonna build this one up. All right, here's Michigan's first 4 weeks. All right, at Minnesota, and Indiana doesn't play Minnesota, The Gophers are supposed to be something like a top 15 or 20 team this year. Dark horse Big Ten title pick. Michigan then comes home to play Michigan State in week 2. The Wolverines are going to win that one, but it's a rivalry game. Things can always get a little bit weird, especially with a new head coach at Michigan State and Mel Tucker.
Right.
Week 3, Michigan comes to Bloomington. Mm-hmm. And then week 4, Michigan hosts Wisconsin.
We're trap game.
Okay. You can call it a trap game.
Trap
game. I think Michigan's going to come into Bloomington focused and prepared and locked in. And they're going to have a couple games under their belt where new QB Joe Milton from Orlando is going to have his guys, his offense a little bit more confident and comfortable than they would have if this was a week 1 matchup. If you flip Michigan Penn State, I would have said Indiana beats Michigan week 1 and loses to Penn State week 3. So I kind of think of it the opposite as you. I'm not sure if Michael Penix or Watt Fillier are going to make it. I don't know if they're going to be available for this game because last year those two guys were out and it was really sad.
What kind of prediction, positive prediction, is this where you're expecting our two best players to be out week 3?
All I'm saying is, you know, football's a physical game. This type of stuff happens. I think Michigan just has a little bit more depth than Indiana. I'm going to take the Wolverines to win this week 3 matchup and give Indiana its first loss of the season.
Boo.
All right. Indiana heads up next. Indiana heads to Michigan State. And this is a game where, you know, normally we would say, oh gosh, you know, this is a problem. Michigan State with Mark D'Antonio, and they've had Brian Lewerke there for 18 years. You know, Michigan State's always been a problem in the Big Ten. I mean, heck, they made the college football playoff a few years ago. It is a complete rebuild right now at MSU. Mel Tucker is the new head coach. He comes over from the NFL. The quarterback situation's up in the air right now. It's going to be either Peyton Thorne, a redshirt freshman, or Rocky Lombardi, a junior who got some playing time last year. LJ Scott, the running back, he's moved on. It's either going to be Elijah Collins or Anthony Williams in the backfield. Matt, I think Indiana's going to be favored in this game, and I think Indiana's going to win this game. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Michigan State has been pushed down a peg since they lost D'Antoni. It's a new coach, new quarterback, like you said. It's going to be hard for them, and IU has always played Michigan State the last couple of years super close. I like this matchup for the Hoosiers, unless it's like a freak weather day in East Lansing. But like you can't add that into your prediction. It's like you can't add losing the two best players.
Sure, you can.
No, you cannot. This is like everybody's healthy and or the majority of the squad is healthy. You can't just like, oh, you know what? I think we're gonna lose our entire offensive line and both our wide receivers, and it's gonna be Michael Penix against the world. No, it's a
It doesn't have to be those two guys. It could be any two players, right? What are the odds that everyone makes it healthy through 2 weeks?
0%.
Yeah. So that's
it's
what it
is. Football and it's IU. It just happened. But then I don't care. Next man up. Come on, give it to me. Let's go.
Indiana does have a pretty deep roster. I mean, Michigan State's gonna really struggle this year. You know, we talked about the rebuild, but to give you some S&P data for them, the Spartans are ranked 40th in the country, again, out of 91, but their offense is 74th. And so, you know, with Indiana's defense hopefully taking a step forward this year, a step or two forward, they really should, you know, keep Michigan State's offense quiet. MSC's got a 20th rated defense. So that's really
74th,
where...
though.
Yeah, it's really rough as far as they're going offensively. And again, they've got a 20th rated defense right now per the S&P Plus ratings. But last year, for comparison, they were roughly in the top 10 like all season defensively out of 120. So they're even with this 20th rating, MSU is going to take a step back on defense. They don't have Kenny Willekes anymore on the defensive line. They don't have Joe Bashi in the linebacking core. I like how we both have Indiana 3-1, Matt. But then things get tough. Things get real tough the following week. The Hoosiers on November 21st, the weekend before Thanksgiving, play a second consecutive road game and head to the Horseshoe in Columbus. It's not happening, right, Matt? Come on. It's not.
It's what? Okay. Like, in a normal year, I'd be like, you know what? There could be a chance, but I honestly think, and this is my preseason, Ohio State is the national champion. I think they are. I think they're the best team in the country across the board. And you can make the argument for Clemson. You can make the argument for Alabama. You make the argument for Oklahoma if you wanted to, which would be a terrible argument, but you could. But between Clemson and Ohio State, I think Ohio State's the much better team. We're going to be playing the best team in the country away from home when they've already have four games under their belt. It won't be a fun time. It's not going to be a fun watch for the Hoosier faithful. I hope it's a close game, but like a close game is a win in my book for IU to keep it close. This is the best team in the country and we're playing them on the road in a weird year. So yes.
Yeah.
It's Ohio State by far.
I think that's fair. I mean, the schedule makers did Ohio State quite well. I don't know if there was a little boosting going on to try to help Ohio State's national title shot, because the Big Ten has struggled to win the national championship for quite some time. But their two crossover games, for example, are home Nebraska and at Illinois. Illinois is better, but they're not Wisconsin.
Both those teams aren't cupcakes, but both those teams aren't. Yeah, it's not Wisconsin or Minnesota, right? Yeah, they're. They're playing the middle of the pack in the West instead of playing the upper echelon of the West, like we are.
Nebraska's a cupcake, man. Let's be real.
I think Nebraska will be a lot better than they were last year. I like Scott Frost.
We'll see. By the way, folks, you know, when Matt says Ohio State could win the national title, you know, that's not a wild opinion at all. They're co-favorites with Clemson right now to win it all. And real quick note there. We don't have any idea what bowl season is going to look like this year. There is nothing that the NCAA has really said definitively. The Big Ten's going to have a bonus ninth game called Champions Week at the end of its 8-game regular season schedule. That week will take place on December 19th. But, you know, it's going to be kind of interesting to see how the NCAA as a governing body overall decides what to do with bowl season, whether it's your college football playoff all the way down to the whatever the Pizza X Bowl. I don't know if that's a thing, but
give me an NCAA tournament for football. Give me 64 teams. Let's go.
Real quick though, Ohio State's roster. I mean, I don't know where you. I mean, I'm just gonna rattle off some names that you guys should know. These guys are all probably gonna end up Big Ten first team. Garrett
and
Wilson.
NFL.
Yeah, and in the NFL, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave at wide receiver, Thayer Munford and Wyatt Davis on the O-line, Justin Fields, the quarterback's a beast. Trey Sermon comes over from Oklahoma, the transfer there. He was a starter at Oklahoma a couple years ago. He and Master Teague are going to share carries, and that's going to be a pain in the rear end for opposing defenses. Ohio State's defense lost a lot, especially in the secondary, but you know how Ryan Day recruits there. It's going to be just lock and load every year with 4 and 5-star athletes. So their defense is going to be incredible. Let's dive into week 5. Excuse me, that was the Ohio State game.
6.
And here's the thing. Five games in. Let's take a little breather. You know, right now we both have the Hoosiers at 3-2. Michael Penix is still the starting quarterback at this point, right?
I mean, you killed him off in week 2. So
Michael Penix,
he's done with the survival season. He's
out. How many picks does Taiwan Mullen have through 5 games?
2.
Oh, I like that. Okay, all right. I like how that sounds. I'm gonna say 3. I think he's got even more. And I think Rayshon Williams to this point, the freshman wide receiver.
I think he has 4 touchdowns.
Well, I was just going to say, I think he's going to pop off the screen a couple times, but 4 touchdowns would be.
I think he has 4 touchdowns at this point. I think he gets 2 in the Redskins game.
Well, he's from the Detroit area. Michigan State, the first half of the season. He's going to have a little something to play for.
That'll be fun for him, yeah.
Before Thanksgiving hits. So, real quick, it's time for Who Won the Week in IU Sports. And once again, we're going to hit the pros. And there was a lot going on. I think our winner this week is Alex Dickerson, who we've talked about on this podcast before, outfielder for the San Francisco Giants.
Very recently.
He gets DH at bats with the NL moving to the DH this year. But he had a baby on Sunday, and then he homered on Monday. Not too shabby. I'd say Alex Dickerson won the week. Otherwise, in the NFL, Jordan Howard scored a touchdown. Nick Westbrook Ekine was active for Tennessee. He was on the 46-man roster. He made the 53-man team, and he wasn't even ruled out inactive on Sunday morning. He actually got onto the field for the Titans, which is and that's something really, really impressive for someone who's an undrafted free agent. So I think Alex Dickerson, without question, won the week this past week. So, 5 games in, the Hoosiers are 3-2 in both of our worlds. Just in case all of you listening need a little clarification, Matt had the Hoosiers fall to Penn State and then beat Michigan. I had it the other way around with the Hoosiers beating Penn State, losing to Michigan. Otherwise, we have IU beating Rutgers, beating Michigan State, losing to Ohio State. Week 6, Maryland comes knocking. And this is a game where the Terps, it's always an interesting matchup when Indiana and Maryland face off in football. I feel like every year it's a close game. Maryland this year, 58th per S&P, so S&P plus, so worse than Michigan State. Maryland is also rated 64th offensively, so I think a little bit lower than people might expect there. Mm-hmm. Also 52nd defensively. This is the game after Thanksgiving. Matt, Indiana wins this, right?
This is at Maryland, correct?
No, it's in Bloomington.
Yes, IU wins this. I think if it was at Maryland, I think it would be a bit of a toss-up. For whatever reason, Maryland always plays this close. I think it's just the style of play that they have. And I don't know, traveling to Maryland is boring. But give me the Hoosiers in this matchup. They're home. They're going to be comfortable. They're going to kick some butt. We'll move on next week.
Oops. Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think Maryland is somehow, you know, every year's weird for the Terps because no one really knows who they are. It seems every season. Like last year, they beat a top 25 Syracuse team and then lost to Penn State 59-0, something like that. They're all over the board. it's interesting to me that Maryland has an easy matchup before playing the Hoosiers. They do host Michigan State, and I think that's a game Maryland should win. But overall, the Terps are just all over the place. They're going to have a strange QB situation. They may start Taulia Tagovailoa, Tua's younger brother, who I believe was deemed eligible by the NCAA for the fall. That could be interesting. Teyon Fleet Davis has a lot of hype as their running back. I don't know. You're kind of grasping at straws with Maryland. It's going to be fun. It's going to be competitive. I think Indiana's going to win it, though, and move on to 4-2. The over-under in Vegas in some offshore sites is 4.5 for IU this year.
Take the over.
After the Big Ten released their schedule. So, and by the way, that over-under is on the 8-game schedule, excluding that 9th end-of-season game. So, at this point, the Hoosiers are 4-2. Week 7 is the road game at Wisconsin that we all dreaded. Indiana heads to Madison on December 5th. That's right, a December road game in Madison, Wisconsin. That should be fun. The Badgers are really, they're recognized in the S&P Plus. The Badgers are 7th in the nation, 15th best offense, 5th rated defense. Matt, what's going to happen in this one?
It's going to be like a 5-5 frozen field Lambeau in the playoffs game. Like, it's just not going to be fun to play in. It's not going to be fun to be in the stands to watch. It's not going to be fun to be on the sidelines to coach. And as a fan, it's not going to be fun to watch because it's just going to be flat out ugly. However, that being said, I like the Hoosiers to give them a scare, but they lose because it's in Madison to Wisconsin. I think if they had played this game at the start of the season, I like the Hoosiers in the matchup. I actually did. I think they would have taken it to Wisconsin's defense. Wisconsin's defense, again, is built to stop the run and disrupt the offense. IU's offense is built to spread out the ball and speed up the defense. Matchup against this defense. However, that being said, in the conditions that they're going to be in, which is either super cold or with snow or both, I think Wisconsin's going to be in good shape in this game.
So under normal circumstances, I would agree with you that the snow would be a problem for the Hoosiers. But here's the other thing. Indiana has never had a quarterback with the arm strength and the accuracy combo like Michael Penix. And I know Nate Sudfeld's really good. And I know Nate Sudfeld made the NFL, but when you watch Michael Penix make those throws in person or on TV, it doesn't matter what the weather is with him. He can cut it through a 20-mile-an-hour wind. There was a game a couple years ago against Penn State when the Nittany Lions came to Bloomington. The wind was howling, trash was flying all over the field, and Penix was still able to rip the ball through the breeze. Wisconsin, I think they're overrated. They're losing Jonathan Taylor, and their defense has lost some pieces as well. I've got the Hoosiers pulling off the upset here, Matt. I'm feeling good about this game in Madison. Jack Cohen is a guy who doesn't have the strongest arm at Wisconsin, the quarterback there. They're going to run the ball, sure, but, Garrett Groshek, he's a guy that was mostly a fullback, while Jonathan Taylor was carrying the ball for a zillion yards. Wisconsin's going to be really good this year. I don't think they're a top 10 team, and this is sandwiched in between games against Minnesota and Iowa. I think there's a little trap game feel to this. There's going to be no one in the bleachers at Camp Randall. Give me the upset, Matt. I know I'm crazy, but I'm feeling it.
So all of a sudden, you're Mr. Positive over here, and now I look like Mr. Realistic. All right. All right. Do your worst next game.
I mean, all I'm saying is the Hoosiers are kind of due for a win over Wisconsin also.
They're kind of due for a win over a lot of teams, and it has yet to happen. I mean, look at Ohio State.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's fair. It's funny when you mention it. Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and Wisconsin. Indiana has like one win over those teams in the last, 10 or 15 years combined. Yeah. So I have them winning two of those games. No big deal. So I've got the Hoosiers 5-2. Matt's got them 4-3. Last game of the regular season, Purdue comes to town December 12th. Indiana's going to win, right?
Yeah, and I think this game is going to be closer than people actually think of it when they look at the schedule. Purdue's got a pretty decent team. Sorry, but they do. David Bell's good. Mm-hmm. They'll figure it out on at the quarterback position. I like Purdue as a football team if I'm looking at it objectively. Now, if I'm looking at it through my Hoosier Crimson goggles, Purdue sucks and we're going to win. So it's fine. And it's in Bloomington, but none of that really matters at all. And the weather is, we can talk about the weather, but the weather is going to suck anyways. It's dead of winter in Indiana.
Yeah.
So give me IU.
Yeah, I think IU is going to win this one too. Purdue is going to have a better QB situation this year than they did last year. It's probably going to be Jack Plummer. Aiden O'Connell's going to have another year. So if he does need to be called on, he'll be ready to go compared to last year where it was a baptism by fire for him. Austin Burton is an interesting grad transfer there, a quarterback for them. Their backfield solid with Horvath and King Daru. Horvath gave IU a lot of problems last year, and David Bell's the star of this offense. they've got a lot of depth across the board, especially on offense, but at the end of the day, Purdue's defense is still a bit lacking. If you look at the S&P Plus numbers, Purdue's the 41st rated team in the country, 23rd offense, 55th defense. Again, you see that number on the defensive side of it, 55 out of 91. They're pretty vulnerable, especially in the back seven. So much like Peyton Ramsey accumulated 400 yards against them last year, I think Penix will do the same.
Would be a lot of fun to watch, Purdue's offense, if they had Rondale Moore, because Rondale Moore opted out of the season.
Yeah.
I think this game becomes a lot more winnable for – it was already winnable for IU, but it becomes almost a lock for IU, I think, at this point, just looking on matchups. Now, again, like Nathan said, Penix could go down week 1.5, and all of a sudden we're looking at maybe this is a lot tougher of a game, but I like the Hoosiers in this, all things considered.
Yeah, and this is and just to be clear, like, I'm not sitting here predicting that Michael Penix is going to get hurt. What it comes down to,
that's what somebody who would predicting that Michael Penix would get hurt.
I was just giving a couple of examples. What it comes down to is, like you mentioned, guys are going to get hurt as the season goes on, and I think it's going to put IU at a big disadvantage against Michigan. But if you play Purdue at the end of the year, I think if Indiana throws all their second string guys out there, they're still going to beat the Boilermakers, as crazy as that sounds. Purdue's a good team. They're going to be fun to watch. But I think IU gets it done, winning game number 6. So under normal circumstances, Indiana has a tough time getting to 6 wins. I'm sitting here telling all of you that Indiana's going to get the 6 on this 8-game schedule. Matt has it at 5.
We told you to take the over. Take the over on 4.5. I have it at 5. Nathan has it at 6. Yeah. Take the over. Always take the over, but take the over, especially in this case.
Indiana HQ and the Hoosier Sound are not liable for any betting losses that occur based on opinions communicated during podcast episodes. Matt has him at 5-3. That's probably more realistic, but, I'm confident in the talent on this Indiana team. And what we saw last year is that the intangible X factor that Tom Allen's program brings to each and every Saturday, just with the team chemistry, you can call it morale, you can call it toughness, whatever you want. It makes a difference. And Indiana just seems to be a little bit more tougher, a little bit more into the game, a little bit stronger of a backbone, so that if they do go down 14 to Wisconsin on the road, or if they do go down 14 to Penn State at home, I just have a little more confidence that Indiana fights back. Does that make sense, Matt?
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong about the team morale thing, but I think you're missing the whole point of why we were able to come back against Wisconsin in the first place. And that is, this is the most talented IU team that you may have ever watched, legitimately, from top to bottom. There's high-level NFL talent on this team in multiple positions. And whether it's Tywan Mullen, whether it's, you know, look at Penix, it might even be Watt Fillier getting drafted to the NFL. You look at Rashawn Williams, the wide receiver that we just pulled in, that's a four-star recruit. I mean, you look up and down this roster, there's four-star recruits on our defensive line that didn't even play many downs last year. It's going to be getting snaps this year. Like, this is the most talented and deep IU team you may have ever witnessed in your lifetime. I know it is for me. I know it is for Nathan. It might be for a lot of you fans out there as well. And that is why they're going to be able to come back in these games and actually play against teams. Tom Allen has built something special in Bloomington. Now it's all about execution, right? We saw a lack of execution against Tennessee in the bowl game. That was it. We lost that game. They did not get beat. We lost that game. We had that game not in the bag. We were in the driver's seat of that game, and there was some poor coaching decisions that led to our demise. Now, I think this year they're going to learn from that mistake, and they're going to get their heads together and glue it together with the synapses of each other's brains attached. Wow. And yeah, they're going to do some weird biochemistry stuff. Yeah, they're going to get done the chemistry building on campus.
Cool. Yeah, stay tuned.
But no, I like this team. I like the way it's built. I like the team chemistry. I think they're more talented. They're tougher. They're bigger. They had an extra offseason of Indiana weight training to even get bigger. So I like them a lot.
Yeah, it's you know, it's the similar song we've sung every year. It's too bad that they're in the Big Ten East. You know, I'd love to see this team get thrust into some unique competition.
Yeah, move us to the ACC.
To the Big Ten West or something.
For basketball and for football.
Just for a year. I love the Big Ten Network, and I love the tradition and the culture of the Big Ten, but just for a year.
Give this IU team Miami schedule. I like watching who they're playing, and I just laugh. I laugh! They play Louisville. Not great. Wake Forest, meh. You look at Duke, okay.
Well, like every year for them, Clemson's the big game, and they lose by 60.
I mean, we every year we have Ohio State, but then
it's a little closer.
Ohio State and Clemson are like here, but then the next one for Miami is like who?
Who? Yeah, it's probably something like Duke, Louisville, Florida State, and I'm not sure it's Florida State. Who? So yeah.
Who? It's like Florida State's bad. You look at IU schedule and it's like Ohio State's like, okay, that's a lot. Oh, Wisconsin. Oh my God. What? Michigan? Okay. Penn State? Like, come on now.
Yeah, I mean, right now, three of Indiana's eight scheduled opponents are projected to be top 10 per S&P Plus, and that doesn't include Michigan or Michigan State, who's historically good, Maryland, who's historically fun, and Purdue, who's your rival. So, you know, that's definitely, you know, I just, or if there wasn't the Big Ten West, I mean, Bloomington's not that much East or West, as far as the overall conference is concerned. So maybe you can flip, one of the teams in the West for Indiana just to have some fun. But Matt, take us into your social media shout out this week. I know you wanted to talk just a little college basketball because something came through Twitter earlier today.
Yeah, I mean, I always want to talk about college basketball. Yeah. So we're IU fans. We might as well do what IU fans do. And that is Andy Katz. I think he works with the NCAA now as a journalist. He works with all the networks now. But he did his top 36 teams, which is like, it's almost as ridiculous as the top seven, top 55 teams that I've cut down my list to. It's like these journalists, like I used to be the top 25. Now it's the top 36, top 18, top 14. Like they're just like whatever list they can come up with, whatever. Anyways, IU was 18th on his list, which is a pretty solid number. Middle of the pack of the 36, but you know, 18, we'll take a preseason ranking. We'll take a ranking at all, honestly. It's been a while since IU has been ranked. I thought they might have been ranked last year, and some things didn't fall their way. Never got ranked. Would have made the tournament, but wouldn't have been ranked. We'll be ranked maybe in preseason this season, and it'll be interesting to see how long we stay in it. I hope we stay in it all year. But the Big Ten is loaded. I know the best Big Ten team in it, Andy Katz's rating, was number 4, Iowa. Now, basketball purists and a lot of IU media would scoff at that because they would be like, ha, ha, defense. But I do like Iowa's offense a lot. I think they're a great team. You look at Michigan State, look at Illinois, you look at Wisconsin. I didn't even mention the team that's returning their starting five and won the Big Ten title last year in Wisconsin. Like, the Big Ten is absolutely loaded this year. So it should be great opportunities. It should be filled with great opportunities for IU to boost their tournament resume come March.
I mean, we just heard last week that the NCAA is shooting for November 25th for opening night. And it's going to be fire wagon basketball right off the start. You're not going to get cupcakes in your schedule this year, folks. Maybe you squeeze in one. I doubt it. It seems like IU's non-conference schedule, for the most part, is going to be your three Maui games, your Gavitt game against the Big East, your Big Ten ACC challenge, and then your matchup against Butler in Indianapolis.
IU fans used to complain about playing Chicago State. Now they're going to be on their knees begging for us to play two Chicago States.
Be careful what you wish for, to say the least there. I think this Indiana team's ready for it, though, in all honesty.
I do think
so. I'm not saying they're going to win a lot, but win all the games, but I think they're ready to go. I think Trace Jackson Davis and all them, yeah.
I think, like, selling it to recruits as well, I think you're going to watch this team come out with fire. Just because this team is going to embody what Archie is like, and we all know Archie is a fiery, young head coach that he is, and they're going to come out ready to take it to any team that they play. And it's going to be good for recruits to watch. It's going to be fun for us to root for. It's going to be fun for the players to play for. I think good vibes only about this IU basketball team. Good vibes only.
And by the way, just scrolling through some of the other teams in that top 36 for Mandy Cats. How about this? Michigan State, remember them? They're number 12. Yeah. As if there's some sort of afterthought this year, which you know they're not going to be. Rutgers is 13. Not too shabby. Michigan's number 17, so I believe that makes IU the eighth ranked Big Ten team, even though they're 18th in the nation.
Big Ten basketball, sorry, I interrupted you, but
go ahead. No, you're fine.
I don't get the Rutgers hype. I don't understand it. Like, I get that they're returning a lot of people and they had a decent year last year, but like, IU had a decent year last year, returning a lot of people, and are we getting 13th? No, and we have a lot more high-level talent than Rutgers does, so I don't understand it, but, you know, that's why they get paid big dollars when I sit here on the Hoosier Sound and talk
to guys. Cliff Omoruyi, get to know his name. He's an incoming freshman at Rutgers. Get to know his name. You could be right, though. I mean, there's always going to be a team that's, like, not rated that jumps up into the upper echelon, and then someone who's supposed to do really well that falls off. So you never know what's going to happen there. By the way, Andy Katz does work for the NCAA, Big Ten Network, and Fox Sports 1. So that's where he is right now.
He just works for basically everybody.
Works for everybody. For those of you listening, I mean, we're not really going to dive into this game number 9 on the IU football schedule. It's Champions Week. That's what the Big Ten's running with calling it. The odds makers, I believe, have Indiana projecting to face Nebraska or Purdue. And of course, if Indiana plays Purdue, that would be back-to-back games facing the Boilermakers twice in 7 days. That would be really strange, without a doubt. I don't even that kind of made me feel weird just saying it. Playing back-to-back games on your college football schedule against the team. That sounds gross. I mean, do you have any thoughts or comments as far as that ninth game goes? It's going to be against a Big Ten West opponent who's rated the same out of 7 as IU is in the Big Ten East.
I'm going to be bold and say that the team that we play, based off of our records that we came up with, is going to be Iowa or Minnesota. Because you look at the West, you have, I think Iowa will get third. I think IU will end up fourth in the East. So you're looking at who gets fourth, and it's between either Minnesota's going to have a great season, or I think they're going to have a little bit of a step back. I think Iowa – wait, who did I say we were going to play? Did I say Minnesota?
You said Minnesota and Iowa.
Yeah, it's either be Minnesota or Iowa. I think Wisconsin – and, oh my God, the entire West is breaking my brain.
All right, I got your back. Yeah, here we go. So according to DraftKings Sportsbook, they're projecting the Big Ten West to go like this. Wisconsin to win it. That's what they're predicting. Which means we're probably going to get a Wisconsin-Ohio State Big Ten title rematch, which I'm already excited about. Of course, that is assuming that Wisconsin's loss to Indiana doesn't take them out of the running for the Big Ten West title. Just throwing that out there. After Wisconsin, though, they're saying Minnesota is going to finish second in that division, Iowa third, and then Nebraska, Purdue, Northwestern, Illinois.
I meant Nebraska. I said Iowa originally, but I meant Nebraska. I think Iowa will get second or third.
Yeah.
I think Iowa's going to be fourth. So it's going to be a fight between Nebraska and one of those teams.
Yeah. And so if Indiana finishes 5-3, Iowa does seem like a very realistic opponent. Minnesota's got the backing of a lot of people right now to have a great season. Tanner Morgan's kind of a Heisman dark horse. Rashad Bateman is too, the wide receiver there. He came back after opting out.
So good. Oh, he's so good. So good.
he tore up opposing defenses last year. I think Indiana's going to play Minnesota because a 6-2 finish probably means IU got third. You know, third in the Big Ten after losing to Michigan and Ohio State. So, you know, for me, at least the way I see it, IU finishes third in the conference and takes on Minnesota. Iowa very much in play there. I don't think Wisconsin falls to third. That's where I see things. And then, of course, like we said earlier, nothing clear as far as the bowl picture is concerned. So, Matt, overall final thoughts about this IU football schedule, Indiana basketball, if you want to go back to that, it's all yours.
I mean, I'm excited for football season to have an actual start date, something we can talk about. I know Nathan and I have been dying. I mean, literally, like, gasping for topics. It's just, like, being choked down by the off season. Like, it's already bad enough that we have an off season because – you know, there's not a lot of talk about the offseason. You guys know this. You listen to our stuff. We're like trying to grasp straws here. But then March Madness ends early, so that takes away four shows. And then the football season starts 2 months late, so that's another 2 months worth of shows. So we're sitting here with 12 extra shows that we should not normally be doing. But no, we're really excited to finally be able to bring you guys some great content weekly that, you know, we don't know about until Sunday morning what we're going to even talk about. So I'm super excited to sit down and be able to watch college football again on my TV. Now I wish I was there in person, of course, but we'll take what we can get right now in 2020.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just to be clear on that, the Big Ten has instituted a no fans policy for all stadiums in the Big Ten footprint this upcoming football season. So, yeah, I mean, that's where it is. And here's the deal, folks. I know the schedule release has people excited, but there's still over a month to go. And I know, I mean, it's basically national news. It's not even sports news. When you heard earlier today that Notre Dame had to cancel their, or at least maybe they said postpone their upcoming game on Saturday against Wake Forest because multiple players tested positive. So this thing is still a very fluid situation. Kudos to everyone. The Big Ten did a great job. Commissioner Kevin Warren and the coaches and the presidents as far as getting their hands on tests that give you a quick turnaround. So it's one of those things where there's no precedent for how to deal with this. So, heck, you know, we projected 8 games. Indiana might play 4 for all we know. Or in a couple of weeks, we might get a completely different schedule, which would not surprise me. I'm half joking, but half serious. Like that is not something that would shock me. Nothing would shock me at this point. And so that's in general where I see all of this heading. Folks, that about wraps it up for our 160th show of the Hoosier Sound. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your support. To hear more fantastic episodes like this one, and I love this one, be sure to follow us at Indiana HQ to make sure you don't miss any in the future. You can also go to our website, indianahq.com, to find everything in one place. Lastly, if you enjoyed our show, and this is important, leave us a review, tell a friend, share our links. Your support really helps us grow this podcast and reach more passionate IU fans such as yourselves. But as always, Thank you for listening, Hoosier Nation, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks.